Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome in. Matt Harrop filling in for Mark Sturgis here on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776 is the number. That's 844-GSP-ESPN is the number. It is good to be back in the saddle here talking to you, Greenville. Boy, it is an interesting time in South Carolina sports right now. You have one team going in one direction, another team going in a completely other direction. It's been, I appreciate Mark Ryan having me do this show. I did fill in for him on Offsides, if you remember. My voice. I was on this station maybe it was about 3 or 4 months ago doing a show with Lonzo. Love those guys and very glad to be back in the saddle here today. Again, that number 844-477-3776 if you would like to contact the show at any point today. I do have a running poll question up. You can follow me on Twitter at HarabMatt. And this is where I would like to take calls today from South Carolina Gamecock football fans, because I will tell you I am in a similar situation being a New York Giants fan that I think you are as a South Carolina Gamecocks fan. And here's my poll question. Would South Carolina football fans sacrifice every single game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp will be fired? Now, I'm as a New York Giants fan, it's a little bit of a different situation because I'm not looking for my coach, Pat Shurmur, to be fired. Okay, I think there's still time that has to be told and there's a story that has to be read. I do think that the Giants coaching staff is in a little bit different situation than South Carolina staff, but here is the similarity. The New York Giants just had their running back, Saquon Barkley, get hurt in their last game. And I'm thinking to myself, as a Giants fan who saw the team start out 0-2 absolutely terribly, I'm thinking to myself, I do not want to see this team win. And I'm just being dead honest with you, because tanking exists and there is a proven formula of success across all sports for tanking to work. The Philadelphia 76ers in the NBA. Okay, that's probably example number one. And, you actually have a tagline for the 76ers. It's called the process. Joel Embiid was all about trust the process, trust the process. The 76ers did not want to win games for 3, 4, 5 years so they could get guys like Joel Embiid, so they can get guys like Ben Simmons and other people to help build that franchise back up again. I do think tanking exists. I think the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL did it last year. Now, did the players want to tank? No. Did management want to tank? Yes. Because at the end of the day, they wanted Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray is who they got, and that's going to be their franchise quarterback. I do not believe that tanking is a bad thing in sports if it does serve a purpose. And so this is where I want to ask you, South Carolina Gamecocks fans, would you sacrifice every game for the rest of the season if it guaranteed that Will Muschamp would be fired? And I have been listening to the station all week because I do want to take the pulse of you guys. Okay, 844-477-3776. No one wants to see their team lose. Okay, nobody does. Okay, but I am at the point, again, as a Giants fan, where I am literally want higher draft picks. The difference between college football and the NFL when it comes to tanking is, in the NFL, you tank to get draft picks. In college football, college basketball, you would tank to get a better coach. That's pretty much the difference. Okay, so I want to hear your opinion on this because there is such a huge difference between the teams in South Carolina right now and Clemson, the University of South Carolina. Do you want to hit the reset button that quickly? All right, now let me just start with this. I always lean towards not firing a coach. Always. I think it's a very gut and instinctual reaction, and it's easy to do following a loss and a slow start to a season. 1-3, coming off a terrible loss last week. Okay, Ryan Helinski kind of hurt. Offensive line terrible. No pressure on the quarterback. Couldn't protect your quarterback. So obviously, as a South Carolina fan, you're thinking, get him out, get him out, get him out. But I do think that it's important in any aspect of life to have a plan. Any school, any professional organization trying to decide whether to make a move, you have to evaluate a lot of things because it's imperative that you don't make a move if you do not have a plan. Okay, you have to have a plan. I'll be honest with you, okay? And I want to welcome Diesel to the show. Diesel, it's great working with you. I worked with Lonzo. I'm going to ask you this question first, and then we're going to continue on with this. I want to know why your name is Diesel before we continue on with this discussion. I was told I was working with Diesel, and there's a Diddy over there as well. Is that the same thing? Are you Diddy as well?
No, I'm not Diddy, but I think he and I are going to do a podcast all about Double D's if you want to tune
D's.
In for that.
Oh, yes, the Diesel and Diddy Double D show. I'm all for it. Okay, so explain the name, man, because I have a nickname as well. I'll tell you after you tell me why yours is Diesel.
So in college, I like to drink. I like to party a lot, and I had a hard time saying no to dares. And somebody one time dared me while I was drunk to do a shot of diesel fuel. And it was god awful. It didn't even get down my throat. It was just in the mouth, and it was sprayed out everywhere.
You're talking about gasoline,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I'm not saying it was a smart decision. I'm just saying I did.
Hold on. You took a shot of gasoline.
Diesel fuel, not gasoline. There's a difference.
What is the difference? I don't know the difference.
Well, one's more refined than the other. I don't know. It's just
you put it in your
fuel.
Car, right?
Yes, you're not it supposed is. To, it is automotive fuel.
Yeah, you're not supposed to put it in your mouth.
No,
that's not supposed to happen.
You're not. So
okay.
So I don't know if it's like a mark of shame, like you're so stupid that you did it.
No,
or I don't know if it's like a badge of honor, like at least you had the guts to try it.
I'll send you a badge and it will say honor on it. How about that?
There we
Diesel.
Go.
So what happened? Did you like get more energy afterwards? Like did you just like pass out? I mean, what happened?
No, I did pass out later that night for different reasons. However, it did not fuel me in the way that I expected.
Okay, so I will tell you a story real quickly. So my girlfriend loves hot sauce. I love ketchup. So we kind of created this game where we were going to dare each other to both take shots of each other's sauce, okay? And I will be honest with you. I took a shot of oh my God, I'm not going to be able to tell you what kind of hot sauce. Apparently, there's like 10 different kinds of crazy hot sauce. I don't know anything about the world of hot sauce, but she said this one's going to be bad. Okay, I took it, and then I drank a heck of a lot of milk, because that's what I was told. Whenever you drink something spicy or take, you know, if you get spicy wings, you drink a lot of milk. I was struggling for 3 days after that. She struggled for maybe 3 minutes from taking a shot of ketchup. It was not a fair trade. It was absolutely dumb of me to do. And I do not understand anybody who puts hot sauce on anything, because it is absolutely so frustrating to me, unless there's some kind of flavor involved in it. What is the point of hot sauce? Are you a hot sauce guy? I'm just kind of curious. I mean, you're clearly a diesel guy. Are you a hot sauce guy as well?
I'm not. I like to enjoy the flavor of what I'm eating. I don't want to have the heat of 1,000 suns in my mouth.
It doesn't make sense to me. That is a broken and stupid way to go about your business. Okay, let me ask you this, Diesel, quickly before we get to break, and then I want to take some phone calls coming up next. Do you think this thing in South Carolina is broken? Is the Will Muschamp era over? And would you, are you a South Carolina fan?
I am not. I grew up a little bit of a Clemson fan, but I didn't go there, so it's not my primary.
What does that mean, a little bit of a Clemson fan?
Well,
what does that mean?
I got a lot of family that went to Clemson. I got a grandfather, a sister, an aunt, a grandfather, sister, uncle,
okay,
and two cousins, I believe, who all went to Clemson.
So you have heritage there.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think this thing is over? Do you think that our listeners are going to say, okay, I will sacrifice the rest of the season, just give me the L's, I want the L's? Do you think that they're going to say, I want the L's, just get them out of there, it'll guarantee get it? Because look, we're looking at a large buyout here. This is not a guarantee that if it's a 4 or 5 win season, that Will Muschamp is going to be fired. It's just not. The buyout number is high, and again, I do believe that you have to have an replacement lined up. What do you think our listeners are going to say? Because I will tell you coming back after the break what the Twitter poll question has right now.
Fans are going to say yes, but fans are wrong. And they're going to say yes because fans are so insanely impatient nowadays that nobody wants to sit around and wait. They want the new guy to come in and get them 10 wins in the first season. Otherwise, the guy is a failure. I've already seen people say that the Mack Brown experiment at North Carolina round two is a failure. And he's 2-2 in 4 games. He's already won as many games as he did last year. And I also saw that up to this point, he's won the same number of games that Steve Spurrier did at South Carolina when he came there.
Mm-hmm.
So fans were willing to give Spurrier some time. And granted, I wasn't in sports talk at the time that Steve Spurrier took over in Columbia. And so I don't know if fans were losing it over Steve Spurrier taking a little time to get things going. But people got to be patient. And the problem is, and this is something that that Derek brought up on the show yesterday, Will Muschamp is not very much of a likable guy. If he was a likable guy, I think he would be completely safe right now.
And one of the reasons, and one of the reasons he's not likable is because the thing he does best is failing right now. The defense is absolutely awful. And so people came in this thinking, okay, Will Muschamp, we're going to get the Will Muschamp defense, and it's just not happening. All right, so we're going to take your calls next on this subject. 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Steve Lassen of Athlon Sports, one of my favorite guys who covers college football. If you're a college football fan, you know about the Athlon Sports magazine that comes out before every college football season. Steve Lassen's going to join us in about a half an hour. But your call's next, ESPN Upstate. I'm Matt Harrop, filling in for Sturge.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Matt Harrop back with you here on Straight Up with Sturge. The phone number, 844-477-3776, if you'd like to hop in. My Twitter poll question, you can follow me on Harrop. You can follow me on Twitter at Harrop, Matt. That is my last name. It is a little bit confusing for people who see my last name for the first time, H-A-R-A-B. I can just remember Diesel growing up. We'd get many, many telemarketers calling my home phone, and they would we would always know when it was a telemarketer because they would say, "Hey, Rab," or "Harab." And my dad, who took like one French class in high school, is a little bit of a, how can I say it? He's a slippery guy. He likes to joke around. And so whenever anybody said, "Is Mr. Harab there?" He would just start speaking French to him, like just the little bit of French that they knew, just because he didn't want to waste time. Like, you know, when telemarketer calls, he didn't want to waste any time. Well, I don't want to waste your time, so we're going to hit the phones here in a second. But my Twitter poll question is, would South Carolina fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed that Will Muschamp would be fired? 57% of you right now say, yes, I want him gone. 43% say, no, I want my team to win. And by the way, I do think there is a valid point to both sides. If you're a fan of a team, you don't want them to lose. But at the same time, if you're looking at a 1-3 team like you are looking at with the South Carolina Gamecocks, you don't really see a immediate success this year. So you start building for the long term. And I was listening to Mark Ryan earlier in the week, and I thought it made a really good point. Why delay the inevitable? The Green Bay Packers did this with Mike McCarthy. They said, okay, we are not going to be keeping you. So we're going to get you out of here. We're going to start trying new things out. You know, there's just no point. We know Mike McCarthy's not going to be our coach moving forward. So why delay the inevitable? All right, let's see what Sam in Spartanburg says. Sam, you are on here with Matt Harrop on subbing in for Straight Up with Sturge. What say you? Would you, as a South Carolina fan, sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp would be fired?
I was never a fan of Muschamp even before he came to South Carolina. Oh, it's Stan, by the way. And
Stan.
I wasn't no problem. But at South Carolina, man, we've been used to losing seasons. We've had far too many of them for our taste. And if it meant we could get a better coach, then yeah, we would. But honestly, who's out there to have right now?
And that's my point. If you're and thanks for the call, Stan, really appreciate it. I am totally with Stan here, and this is what I said at the top of the show. If you do have a plan, And everybody has a list, right? I heard Mark talking about this earlier this week. Every AD has a list. 1, 2, 3, 4. These are going to be my guys. I don't believe you make a move if you do not believe that you can, if you are not certain you could get either A, B, or C. Okay, look, I will be very, very honest with you right now. Okay, I am right now, I thank Mark for letting me come on and fill in and do this show, but right now my day-to-day job, I absolutely hate. Okay, and there's nothing against this job, but you know what I'm doing right now on a day-to-day basis? Thank God, not today, I'm doing this radio show. But on a day-to-day basis, I am walking around a Sam's Club, and I am selling electricity plants to people. Do I like that job? No. Is it money? Yes. It helps me pay rent. It helps me get buy things and do what I need to do. Okay, but do I like that? No. Will I leave that job unless I have something lined up? Absolutely not. You don't just leave a job. If you're South Carolina, you don't just bail on Will Muschamp unless there is a plan, okay? And so that's where I would, and so that's where you have to start thinking if you're a South Carolina Gamecocks fan, do I trust the people at the top to be able to make the proper decision and have a plan? Again, I'm not leaving the job I hate right now. I'm not, because I don't have a plan. I don't have something lined up right now. Okay, so I'm going to continue to do this because that's the best thing for the interest, for the best interest, my best interest, you know? Let's see what Delvin says. Delvin, would you sacrifice every game for the rest of the season as a South Carolina Gamecock fan if it would guarantee you Will Muschamp would be fired? What say you, Delvin?
Hey, guys. Would I sacrifice? Y'all kind of stole my thunder. I said no because, like you said, what plan do you got? Remember in 2015 when Steve Spurrier resigned? Everybody thought they had a plan. You see how that coaching search turned out.
Thank you for the call, Delvin. Yeah, again, I'm totally with you there. You got to have a plan. I think it's very easy to just pull the trigger and say, okay, something's not working. Let's get rid of him. You know, 1-3. Let's say it's not working. Defense sticks. I understand the frustration, but I do think you need a plan. All right, let's go to Ricky. Ricky, would you, South Carolina fan, sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp would be fired?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And why is that?
I think he needs to hire an offensive and defensive coordinator. Ray Tanner needs to stay. You either go or your buddies go. And you get somebody, hate to say it, Art Briles, someone that can run the offense and let him stay on the defensive side. You go recruit in the living room. You win in the living room. We'll win on the field.
Well, you know, the thing is, and thank you for you. Go ahead, Ricky.
And maybe not Art Briles. That's
yeah, I was going to hop on you for that one. I was going to hop on you for that one, Ricky, but I understand. Look, I understand.
I want to win. I don't care how we win. I'm tired of losing.
I was going to question your morals and ethics there for a second, Ricky. Look, I understand. This is how bad it is, right? This is how desperate we are when we're throwing out names like Art Briles, where we're sacrificing morals and ethics, I feel like, for the opportunity to win. Ah, oh, thank you for the call, Ricky. Appreciate it. Oh, man. Diesel, I didn't think I was going to hear Art Briles' name show up on this show. Did not think I was going to hear that. But what do you think of what Ricky just said? Because I do think that's interesting. The idea of, okay, we're going to have a guy who recruits some coaches' defense. That's going to be your job. Because let's be honest, South Carolina recruiting this year was actually pretty darn good. Okay, the recruiting is there. It's just the lack of play on the field. Now, I will say I was watching this game this past weekend, and I was, you know, I was a little bit surprised as I was hearing the shows this week. I was a little bit surprised as to how big the attack was on Muschamp. I did not understand as someone on the outside looking in, because I'm watching this game and I'm thinking, man, Helinski's horrible. Okay, let's discredit Muschamp, but let's also place some blame on the offensive line, which was absolutely brutal. The running backs were getting no yards, which made Helinski just a target back there. Let's face it, Helinski was not on target at all with his throws, and he was kind of injured. But how much discredit do we put on the actual players on the field? I don't think in any losing situation with any team we can just pinpoint it as one problem. I said this last year, by the way, with the Dallas Cowboys, if I can make this NFL comparison for 1 second. If you go back to last year with the Dallas Cowboys pre-Amari Cooper, okay, there were so many problems. And again, I'm broadcasting live here in Houston, and my show was on in Dallas, so I constantly talked about this, and I think it's a direct parallel to what's going on in South Carolina. Everyone wanted to talk about Jason Garrett. Everybody, all my calls that I took from Dallas, Jason Garrett's the problem. Jason Garrett can't call plays. Dak Prescott, you know, and I'm like, Dak Prescott is getting harassed back there. The offensive line is not even close to what it was 2 years ago. Ezekiel Elliott is not in the game. They have no wide receivers to throw to. I do believe when an offense struggles as much as they do, and a team overall struggles as much as they do, it is not just one thing. I'm not going to sit here today and tell you it's all on Will Muschamp. But I do think it's important to take the pulse of the fan base and see, would you sacrifice an entire season? Because let's face it, Carolina coming up, okay, most people would look at this week and say this is must win. If you are in the camp of I want to win, then this is a must win game against Kentucky. Okay, because coming up, you're going to Georgia, and then you have Florida at home. What I've seen so far, what you've seen so far, those are losses. So I'll be honest. Like, again, I'm coming out this as a Giants fan who wants my team to lose. If I were answering my own poll question here and I was a South Carolina fan, would South Carolina fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if Will Muschamp would be fired? I would say yes. I would say yes when I'm gone, because that guarantees me that I'm going to start the rebuild early. We're not going to delay the rebuild. We're going to start it right now. That's why, again, as a Giants fan, I want my team to lose because Saquon Barkley's out 5 to 6 weeks. They don't have a chance.
Well, digging back through their schedule, I don't think they're going to have to tank much to lose every game on the schedule. I mean, I'm looking at Kentucky's owned them 5 years in a row.
Right.
Georgia's going to smoke them. Florida's going to smoke them. Tennessee might be the only winnable game left on the schedule.
Will that be the lowest rated game on TV that week? South Carolina and Tennessee. I mean, I could see that one being 6-3 with 8 turnovers.
Yeah, I don't know much about Vanderbilt this year. App State looks pretty good under Eli Drinkwitz. They're probably going to beat South Carolina. Texas A&M's going to beat South Carolina. And Clemson's going to beat South Carolina. So you're talking, I'm looking at the schedule, I see one easy win. I mean, Tennessee ought to be, if Georgia State can beat Tennessee, South Carolina can beat Tennessee. I don't know about Vandy. And outside of that, that's a lot of L's going down the line.
Harold is on the line. 844-477-3776 is the number. Harold, would South Carolina fans, would you sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp would be fired?
No, I got my mixed on. Let me tell you why, man. Diesel left out a team that they won't be able to beat. He left as Appalachian State. Diesel, you know me.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me tell you, Steve Spurrier's first 5 years there, he averaged, you know, he won 7 games. The second year he won 8, that's going to the Liberty Bowl, and that's the only bowl he won in his first 5 years. You know, his third year was 6-6, but he took Alabama because he only had one slot. But it took him 6 years to really, and he won the SEC East on his 6th year, and of course he lost it to Auburn, and Auburn, you know, he didn't lost in the Chick-fil-A Bowl of Florida State. Then after that, he went on his 11-2. But two out of the 11-2 years, he had two chances to win the SEC East, and he couldn't do it. And this is after beating Georgia 4 straight years in a row. But it was always that one game. And far as Ricky hit it on the head, Diesel knows I've been echoing this the whole time. They don't know what the gap defense is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have somebody they don't know what it is. And I said, Will Muschamp needs to take over defense and then get him a good offensive coordinator.
I agree. Harold,
and
thank you for
and also play Joyner. Play Joyner.
There you go. Thank you, Harold. I actually really agree with everything Harold just said there. 844-GSP-ESPN is the phone number, 844-477-3776. I do want to bring up a point that parallels what Harold just said there. Giving coaches time. Do you want to know the first record, the first season, the record of Nick Saban at Alabama? Do you want to take a guess, Diesel? Do you know off the top of your head?
I'm going to guess and say he won 5 games.
Close. He was 7-6.
Okay.
He was 7-6. So this point that Harold brings up of giving it time is a good one. Okay. And we are going to talk about this a little bit later in the show. But Houston's quarterback, De'Aaron King, as I know Mark has been talking about all week, he is choosing to redshirt. And one of the reasons that I believe he is choosing to redshirt, and again, this thing could go one of two ways regarding De'Aaron King. But one of the he's either telling the truth and he wants to stay at the University of Houston, or he's going to transfer. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I do want to touch on this. One of the reasons I do think he's choosing to redshirt is because if in fact, fact, in his head, he's saying to himself, I want to stay. That means he wants to play with year two of Dana Holgorsen's. Okay. He wants to play with the recruiting class that is coming in. He wants to get Dana Holgorsen's guys in and want to play with those guys. I do think there is a really, really good point to this aspect of we cannot expect our head coach to come in and be great in the first year, the second year, the third year. I started my radio career out in Nebraska, okay? And when Mike Riley first came in to coach the Huskers after Bo Pelini, I heard a really, really good tweet. Okay, I heard a good tweet. I saw a good tweet. And it said, you cannot expect Mike Riley to cook a good meal with Bo Pelini's groceries. Okay? And basically the point being, you got to have your own recruits in. I understand the frustration, but I do think that you have to have a plan. Now, Diesel, I wanted to ask you this because I kind of wrote down here one of the if you are choosing to move on, and coming up in a couple of minutes here, Steve Lassen's going to join the show of Athlon Sports. We got a heavy college football show for you today, obviously, as we move into the weekend towards Saturday. I do think if you choose to move on from a coach, you have to decide that the system is broken. Okay, and so here are two reasons why I think the system is broken, and I have two reasons why the system's not broken. Okay, so if you're in the camp of the system's broken, we got to get rid of Muschamp. This is the sixth straight loss to a Power 5 team. It's the worst start to a season since 1991. Okay, that's obviously a horrible number and something you don't want. Number two, and we talked about this earlier, he did come from a defensive background, Will Muschamp, and the defense is absolutely horrible. I actually, Diesel, I would feel more comfortable saying that this thing is not broken if the defense was at least okay. Okay, the offense may be brutal. The offensive line has work to do. Ryan Helinski's inaccurate. He's a little bit injured, okay. But if my coach is a defensive coach and I'm praising defense, 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 and my defense is bad, then I say the system is broken. Now, here's where the system might not be broken. Okay, I don't believe Ryan Helinski is healthy. The offensive line is absolutely brutal. So I before we jump the gun, okay, and again, I've told you, I'm always in the camp of my initial first reaction being, let's keep the coach, evaluate, and see what happens. We're 1-3. But it is a very interesting situation. Diesel, what do you think of the calls that we just had? It seems like we had both opinions there.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 split. Honestly, I thought it was going to be a whole lot more of fire Muschamp. But going back to a question you asked earlier, or a statement you made earlier about maybe Muschamp taking a step back, focusing on defense and hiring a really good offensive coordinator.
And I think Harold brought that up too.
Yeah, I don't know Will Muschamp personally enough to know if he's got an ego that will allow that. Is he a guy who needs to be in control? If he needs to be in control, it's not going to work. You know, you could bring in somebody good, but those two are going to butt heads of who's really in control of this program. You know, it's almost like saying there's too many cooks in the kitchen. And that's what's going to happen if he's an ego-driven guy. If he's not, and what he really, really wants is to win no matter what, then it could work.
Look, I think that, and we're going to move on here in a second here, but I do believe that Chip Kelly's situation for the Philadelphia Eagles is a good one to point out with this. Chip Kelly is an egomaniac. Chip Kelly needs to have total control of everything. And the Philadelphia Eagles said, okay, not only are you going to be the coach, you're going to be the general manager, you're going to be all these things, all these responsibilities, and he burned out in Philadelphia. So I would like to think that my team has a coach that is not an egomaniac that can step back and see things from 1,000 feet above and fix the darn problem. All right, coming up next, Steve Lassen's going to join the show. He writes for the magazine Athlon Sports. It comes out before every college football season. I love having this guy on. We're going to talk South Carolina, Clemson, and much, much more. That's next. Matt Harrib filling in for Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, and now joining us is one of my favorite guys, Steve Lassen of Athlon Sports. He used to come on my show, my previous radio show. Always enjoy having Steve on. He is a college football editor for AthlonSports.com, but he does so much more because the magazine that you guys put out, Steve, is awesome. It's a must-get every single year. Athlon Steve on Twitter. Steve, really appreciate the time. Thank you for coming on. I have been taking calls within this last hour. I want to get into all of college football here, but I want to get your thoughts here on the South Carolina football situation. Starting out 1-3, they play Kentucky. Most people would say this is a must-win situation if you are just rooting straight for the team and not rooting for any kind of tanking. And I know that tanking is not the greatest thing to talk about in sports, but I do think that it is relevant because one of my Twitter poll questions, Steve, that I'll just let you know, I'm asking everybody, I'm saying, look, if you could guarantee that Will Muschamp would be fired at the end of this year, as a South Carolina football fan, would you take a loss for the rest of the season? And honestly, it is split right now between the calls that I'm getting and the Twitter poll question that I have. What is the biggest problem right now with South Carolina football, and is it the head coach?
Hey, Matt, it's great to talk to you. I appreciate you having me on. That's a really fascinating poll you've got going there. But I think in terms of where South Carolina is in the SEC East, I mean, I look at Will Muschamp's tenure kind of in a couple phases. The fact that he took over a job that needed some work. They got to 9-4 just a couple years ago, but regressed to 7-6 in a year that South Carolina had top 25 aspirations and then is off to a slow start this year. I think you could point to a number of things that are kind of problem spots. You know, South Carolina's had problems as far as offensive line, balance on offense. The offense has improved from a yards per play perspective over the last 2 years. But Will Muschamp is a defensive coach. And right now, when you look at this team, South Carolina is near the bottom of the SEC in yards per play allowed, scoring defense, rush defense, pass defense, you name it. So right now, I think it's kind of a defensive issue while they're trying to break in a freshman quarterback. So a lot of issues right now for South Carolina. And as you mentioned, it is a must-win game if this team wants to get to a bowl game this season.
If obviously he is a defensive coach, which is what we've been talking about throughout the show. In your experience covering college football, if you do have a defensive-minded head coach with an underachieving quarterback, can we really put so much blame on the head coach for him not progressing as a quarterback, or do we put more blame on the actual quarterback and the offensive-minded assistant coaches helping him?
It's a great question. I think it still falls back to the head coach, because if you're the head coach, you have to hire the right coordinator and the right assistants. And I think so many times when we see a defensive coordinator promoted to head coach somewhere, the most critical hire is the offensive coordinator, because if you're a defensive coach, you're spending most of your time focusing on the defense, especially if you're still involved in the X's and O's and coordinating and game planning and all that. You have to have someone on offense that you trust and can build that group out and can develop quarterbacks. So I think it still always comes back to the head coach. Certainly it falls on, you know, player development and all that, but the coaches also have to hire the right guys around them to develop that talent and then build the schemes that those players can excel in.
Steve Lassen, our guest. He covers college football. He's a college football editor for AthlonSports.com. Also, Athlon, a magazine, great magazine to start the year. Athlon College Football Preview. All right. So, Steve, at the beginning of the season, South Carolina, we looked at the recruiting class and we were pretty impressed. How impressed were you? What were your expectations for the Gamecocks this year?
You know, I think everything about this South Carolina season has to be viewed through the difficult schedule. This was the most difficult schedule in the nation. I mean, playing Clemson, the number one or number two team, Alabama, number one or number two, and Georgia was picked number three by most people. And then there was the crossover game against Texas A&M. So I think everything about South Carolina, you kind of have to start at the schedule. It was already facing one of the nation's most difficult schedules. So a realistic expectation was a 6-6, 7-5 type season. Certainly, you know, in the SEC, the expectations for every fan base are much higher than that. But at the same time, just realistically, from a personnel standpoint, from a schedule standpoint, I thought just getting to a bowl game would be a good year for Will Muschamp, especially if some of that young talent improved and would kind of set the table for 2020 and beyond. But at this point, that's certainly up in the air.
In general, in your opinion, okay, how many years should a new college football coach get before we really start to evaluate and judge him? I started my career out in Nebraska, and I said after the first year of Mike Riley, when, God, there were just terrible, terrible losses. They lost games on an interception for a touchdown at the end of the year, a blocked field goal. They just lost games in weird ways, and Nebraska fans were up in arms, fire Mike Riley, fire Mike Riley. And I said, this is year one. You got to wait a little bit. What do you think is a reasonable amount of time for any college football fan who is a fan of a team with a new coach for them to really start to evaluate them? How much time do we give the new head coach?
You know, I think if you're at a program like Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, and Texas, your expectations and talent level are different. And if you're recruiting top 10 classes and a new coach is already struggling 2 or 3 years into the job, then I think a change is definitely warranted. But I think on the other side of it, you know, you look at a job like South Carolina, it's a top 25 job nationally. But at the same time, you're going to be out-recruited by Georgia and Florida mm-hmm. in your own division most years,
yep.
probably Tennessee as well. So this is one of those programs that I think every 3 or 4 years, you can have a really good season by developing those recruits you bring in. So I kind of look at South Carolina and closer to the 5-year plan, because by then everybody on the roster should be recruited and developed by this head coach, and that kind of tells you a lot about where this program is at that point.
Steve Lassen, our guest, college football editor for Athlon Sports. You can follow his work on Twitter, as I do, as at Athlon Steven. All right, let's take a larger glance here at the college football picture. Last year, Clemson and Alabama, that's tier one and everybody else, right? And it was one of my biggest problems with just the sport in general. It's one of my problems I've had with the NBA as well. Okay, we have the Golden State Warriors and then a drop-off, right? There's no parity. Is there, how many other teams, if any, are you putting in that tier one right now with Clemson and Alabama?
I think they are in their own category. I think it's Alabama, Clemson, and then you put a little bit of a drop to Georgia at number three.
Hold
Georgia
on, Steve. Are you going in that order, Alabama, then Clemson?
I am. I know that probably won't make many fans in South Carolina. I like Alabama just a little bit better than Clemson.
Okay.
And, you know, I think if we're looking kind of big picture, you know, Clemson is chasing kind of itself because the schedule is favorable. You know, it's really hard to repeat in college football. I think that's kind of the interest level for me at this point with this team. But I think Alabama, Clemson, 1 and 2, small gap to Georgia at 3, throw LSU in there at 4, and then I think you get to Ohio State and Oklahoma at 5 and 6. I think you could quibble with Georgia and LSU at 3 and 4. You could mix those two up. But I think right now those are your playoff contenders. You draw the line at those 6 and put Notre Dame, Auburn, Texas kind of all in that next tier with Wisconsin.
I got to ask you this question because everyone's all in love with LSU, and obviously Joe Burrow's having a great year. We're 4 games in, and Joe Burrow's, you know, the next greatest thing since sliced bread. The offense is completely transformed. I would like to take a glass half empty approach to LSU here for a second and just back off and say, okay, we have 4 games of film now. Tough games are coming up. LSU has not been there, done that. I do not trust them if they get to the playoffs. I do believe they would be out in the first. I am just not a big buyer on LSU due to experience and just the fact that this Joe Burrow thing is new and we're going to have film now coming up for the later half of the season. How impressed are you? Obviously, you got to be impressed with what LSU has done up to this point, but how much of a believer are you in them moving forward?
I am a believer, and I have not been an LSU believer because of their offensive shortcomings in recent years. But I think a little bit of credit goes to Ed Orgeron because he recognized that, sure, LSU has talked about making offensive changes. They've talked about it for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. They finally did it this offseason, bringing in Joe Brady from the New Orleans Saints. He worked with Joe Moorhead in the past at Penn State. They've gone to much more tempo, much more spread, RPO. They've joined the modern era of college football, essentially, from an offensive standpoint. And I think LSU's always had good receivers. I mean, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, you know, other guys, they're finally taking advantage of those playmakers. So I will buy LSU kind of ironically, they've had a lot of issues on defense pop up the last couple of weeks. So I still think they are behind Alabama, but I think they got a good shot to get to 11 victories, and we'll see where that puts them at the end of the year.
In a minute here, Steve, you mentioned six teams here: Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. So in about 45 seconds, is there a big drop-off between those six, if we're clustering those six, and then we have Auburn, Wisconsin? Are they completely Auburn, Wisconsin, Florida? Is that clearly tier two?
I think so. I think at this point, our playoff teams will come from those six squads. I think when you look at that next tier of teams, you know, Auburn's going to have a shot at Alabama. It's going to have a shot against Georgia. I think Wisconsin is clearly improved from where it was last year, but I still think they're behind Ohio State. They do have to play, you know, at least in the Big Ten championship game. So we'll get a good glimpse, but I think from right now, from a talent performance, on-field kind of eye test, those six teams are a step ahead of everyone else right now.
Good stuff. As always, good stuff. Steve Lassen has been our guest, college football editor for Athlon Sports. Follow his work on Twitter, as I do, at Athlon Steven, and go get that magazine before every college football season. I guess now, you know, Steve, you did it. Didn't you? You offered to mail me one of those magazines, and I didn't. I never told you I moved. I think maybe that magazine is still, like, in my old apartment building somewhere. I don't know. I never actually got it from you. I appreciate you reaching out, though, and offering to send it to me, but everybody should go get that magazine.
No problem at all. I will make sure this offseason I follow up with you to get one, and I do apologize for that.
No, that's on me for not telling you my new address. Steve Lassen of Athlon Sports has been our guest. We are coming back next. This is Matt Arifillon for Sturge on ESPN Upstate. GSP ESPN is the number. 844-477-3776. The number, if you'd like to hop in at any point this afternoon. Matt Harrod filling in for Sturge. This has been the topic all hour. We will get into other stuff, I promise. But this has been an all South Carolina, I feel like, hour, which is great. I do think South Carolina is a polar, South Carolina football, at least way more. Clemson football, because we'll talk December, January, right? You know, that's when we'll start talking Clemson. Can they beat Alabama? Can they beat Georgia? We'll do all that kind of stuff coming up probably in about 3 or 4 months. But for now, it's South Carolina football. And my poll question, you can follow me on Twitter at Harrod Matt, and I do believe it has been retweeted by the ESPN Upstate Twitter account. Would South Carolina fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp will be fired? And my God, the poll right now, 51% say yes, I want him gone. 49% say no, I want my team win. We got Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, what say you?
Hey, guys. No, I don't want Muschamp fired. I agree with the previous caller that needs to be some changes made in the coaching staff. I mean, we've got a healthy defense this year, a lot of talent over there. I don't know why they're underperforming. I don't know if it's the defensive schemes they're using. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, you know, scratching my head on that situation.
Well, Jimmy, the theory would be coaching. The theory would be because Will Muschamp is a defensive coach, that is the reason why it's suffering.
Yeah, he probably needs to take over for Robinson at defensive coordinator, like the previous caller said. Mm-hmm. And then I received a text from my Gamecock website, and Joyner is not available for the next game, so Jay Urich could be our backup quarterback, and Alinsky was beat up in the previous game.
Yeah, and so, this goes back to go ahead.
I grew up watching a show called Hee Haw, and there was a song in there, and some of the words describe us Gamecock fans: doom, despair, and agony on me. I mean, even the great years that we've had, like the previous caller said, we had 3 11-win seasons. Neither one of those seasons, we went to the SEC championship game. Then back in 84, 85, we were 9-0 and lost to a not-so-good Navy team. So it's tough being a Gamecock fan, but I'm true blue, and I'm going to be a Gamecock fan forever.
Well, I respect that, Jimmy. Thank you for the call. 844-477-3776. Like I said, I love that we have had both sides of this debate, because I do think that there is an overreaction element. If you are saying, okay, I want Will Muschamp fired, okay, it's 1-3 season, we got to get rid of him. But I do respect a caller like Jimmy who says, hey, look, I'm a South Carolina Gamecock fan. Why would I want my team to lose? And the reason why I asked this question specifically at this point in the season is because coming up, this is a must-win game. It's a must-win game. If you want to see your team win and you want to see South Carolina get the best record possible, and if there is a decent record at the end of the season, I'm talking 5-6 wins, then there is a case to keep Will Muschamp. There just is. So it'll be interesting to see what happens throughout the year, but Kentucky is a team that South Carolina obviously has had problems with. I don't see them having a shot against Georgia. Florida obviously is playing very well right now. But Will Muschamp, this has been the hot topic throughout the region, and it's a very, very interesting discussion. And you, Diesel, are surprised by these Twitter results, right? 51% to 49%, 51% say yes. What did you think it was going to be again?
Oh, I thought it was going to be a killing field. I thought Muschamp was out just off this poll.
Oh, man. Well, I always like to hear from the court of public opinion. That is very important, especially in sports talk radio. All right, hour one in the books. Matt Harab filling in for Sturge here on ESPN Upstate. We're going to get into some NFL topics coming up next and much, much more. Keep it locked here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.